Well, is one of your New Year's resolutions to get rid of the things that you no longer need? How's that going? Larry Mueller here. We're going to talk today about, for the next half hour, about decluttering, letting go of stuff that doesn't spark joy or have any use for you anymore. Carrie Marshall with us. Carrie's a professional organizer. She is the owner of the Marshall Method, based in Madison. And it's great to have Carrie with us today. And you can join in the conversation. Are you looking to start the new year by getting rid of stuff you don't use or need and want some advice on how not to replace it all with more stuff? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Maybe you've tried it and failed, or maybe you have an experience to share. Give a call or send an email. We'd love to hear from you. And Carrie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Clutter. How does clutter, you know, lots of stuff taking up lots of space in our homes, it adds to the stress, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And you know what? I think this time of year, people are like tired from the holidays. They're ready to start again. Maybe they're setting resolutions and they're really looking for what I think is more of a relief, right? Looking for stress relief, looking for ways to make their everyday easier. So whatever goals they are setting for the year, that will help them get there. And clutter is, well, let's just say it piles up, right? And it's really, if you think about it, it's postponed decision-making. And so when we postpone the decision-making because we're busy or we're overwhelmed, maybe we're taking care of young kids or aging parents or whatever the case may be, that clutter piles up. And then that is just a little bit of a stressor to our lives. And it's quiet stress.
Yeah. Why is it so darn hard to let go, emotionally let go of things?
Yeah, that is often with a lot of my clients. The emotion comes in play. There's a couple things, Larry, where maybe we've spent some money on these things, you know, a fair amount, and we're like, oh, geez, you know, we spent the money. But, you know, has that piece already served you? Did it get its money's worth? And is that something we can let go? But other times it's sentimental things. Maybe a loved one gave it to us and maybe they're no longer here. But we have to think about it in a way that maybe we don't hang on to every single piece. Maybe we hang on to the ones that have the most meaning. And what I like to remind my clients when we're looking at sentimental things is let's curate our memories with that person instead of making it a giant collection, right? We can find those few pieces that really remind us of that person.
Hmm. How do you approach working? You know, you're a professional at this. How do you approach working with a client?
That's a great question. So what I like to do is I set up an introductory call, right? So we get to know each other. We align on the goals. And then from there, we schedule a walkthrough of their space. So it gives me a clearer picture of what is happening in that space. And sometimes when I'm looking at other spaces, they can tell me in their home, like, hey, this is really working for me. And I can take mental note of it and say, oh, look, this is a system that's working for them. How can we apply it into this area that might be causing them some stress? And from there, we just put together a scope of work, make sure we're all on the same page, develop a timeline of how long we think it might take us to do the project, and then we schedule the sessions and start working together.
How does one become a professional organizer?
Ooh, good questions. You know, I've really worked with a lot of folks that in becoming a professional organizer that have come from different backgrounds, right? We all have different backgrounds. Some of them are teachers. Some of them are corporate people like myself. I came from a corporate background. Other ones were raising families and they started it. So we can all become a professional organizer no matter our background. But there are organizations that, national organizations that you might want to become part of. And that's what I did. And I've taken over, I think it's over 100 continuing education hours to get a certification.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were also, if I'm not mistaken, you're a U.S. Air Force veteran.
I was. I am. Yes.
How much credit do you give to your military training for your personal desire for orderliness? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think, you know, I was one of those kids, Larry, that my parents never had to tell me to clean my room because it was always clean. But I think what really appealed to me when it came to the Air Force and where I also excelled was being orderly, right? Having the hangars so far apart, you know, that you mm-hmm. had to do and that kind of thing. And it was great. And so that was fantastic. But the other part of the military, they're really teaching you to be prepared, right?
Mm.
And preparedness is a big thing, readiness. And I really took that to heart. And I also apply that to what I do with my clients now. I try to come in fully prepared, but I'm able to pivot when we need to pivot if something comes up.
So you mentioned this, the Marshall Method.
Mm-hmm.
So what the philosophy behind, talk a little more about the philosophy behind
sure.
that.
Yeah, I get this question a lot from potential clients that I'm working
yeah.
with. Because, you know, we have other well-known organizers that have different methods, right? And while they serve a lot of people well, what I found in the way that I approach my clients is it's personalized. So not every single solution or way of doing something is going to work for every single person. So what might work for you, Larry, isn't going to work for the next client. So I really personalize it, and my method is to make those tailored approaches.
Marie Kondo?
Marie Kondo, yeah.
Marie Kondo. Uh-huh. Wrote the best-selling book, I think, on it. It was called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up.
Yes, yes.
Do you go along with that kind of philosophy, or how is yours different?
So, actually, Marie does offer a whole new set of training that you can get and be certified with her. I have not taken that, but I did read her book. Yes, I did. And I did try out some of her methods, and I think some of her methods are fantastic. She's got a great following. She's amazing, and it works for a lot of people. And while what I found for me living in the Midwest, it was hard to cull down so much of my stuff, especially when it came to clothes, because we have mm-hmm. four distinct seasons. And so I needed more coats than maybe what somebody in California might want.
Sure.
Yeah, and need.
Mark in Bloomer has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon, Larry. So my dad died about 10 years ago, and I inherited about 4 years worth of his Reader's Digest magazine, and I kept them because they were my dad's magazines, and my dad always had a subscription to the Reader's Digest. And then one day I thought to myself, you know, seriously, Dad, why did you keep all of these magazines? He never in his life did he read Reader's Digest from 1962, and neither was I going to. And so my father lives on, and the magazines are not in my possession anymore.
So there's Mark's experience.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and you would have advised, just react to what Mark said.
Sure. Mark, I have that happen quite a bit with families where they do inherit things, and sometimes they're not things that we also are interested in collecting, right? So if you are ready, and when you are ready, like you might have been, it sounds like, to part with things, I think that's absolutely acceptable. And there are certainly a lot of different ways in which we can do that. We can hand them over to a family member that is interested in collecting them, right? Or we can donate them, or if, you know, applicable, you recycle them. But it sounds like you found the right place and the right time to let go of some of those things since it wasn't something you wanted to collect.
I'll give you a little aside on that. I had a faculty member friend who went home to visit his parents at Christmas time in Illinois, and he was grading papers, short papers that he had assigned to people, to his class of students. And he got kind of tired of it, and so he went into his mother, had a whole room full of Reader's Digest magazines. He pulled one out from the pile, started reading, and he got to one page, and he said, "This sounds really familiar to me." And he goes back, and the student, it was like a 20-year-old or 10-year-old Reader's Digest. The student had copied that piece. So he gave the student an F, and when he got back, and he dismissed the class, and the student stayed till everybody had left, and he said, "How did you know?" And Don said, "Well, I'm a professor at the University of Wisconsin. What do you expect?" That is totally off the topic, but I got such a chuckle out of it. I had to bring it up anyway.
Oh yeah, that's good.
In his case, it was helpful to have the extra magazines of Reader's Digest or his mother's issues of them. Oh boy, you have a question or comment, or maybe you've got a story to tell about clutter and maybe how you decluttered. We'd love to hear that too. The number to call 800-642-1234, or you can email us to talk@wpr.org. Carrie Marshall, our guest today, Madison-based professional organizer and owner of the Marshall Method, LLC. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking about decluttering your home today with Carrie Marshall of her business, The Marshall Method, LLC, based in Madison. Great to have her along. And again, join in with your own questions at 800-642-1234. You could email to talk@wpr.org. I was trying to imagine what would cause people to call. Mm-hmm. And I, right away I thought, well, if you're maybe relocating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's one reason, probably others.
For sure. Relocating. I've had quite a few clients recently where they've renovated their kitchen, right? So everything comes out of the kitchen and then you have to put it back in and you have a brand new space, new cabinetry, new layout, everything. Mm-hmm. Just, so where do you put it all? And I've worked with a lot of clients and setting up their kitchen, getting them ready for making all those great meals. Other people are moving, so they're preparing, decluttering before they move. And then it's just the, frustrations of daily living, right? Like, that junk drawer, especially, maybe the junk drawer isn't opening because all the papers inside of it are jamming it up. And, boy, that can really shape your day, can it?
Ann in Waukesha has something. Let's go there. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling.
I had a friend whose husband died, and he was a private pilot, and he collected all things flying and airplanes, and he had a huge collection of books. She had a hard time parting with them, magazines, like the Reader's Digest example, and she had a hard time parting with them. And I had a grandson who was 18 who was interested in flying. And so I said, well, when you want to get rid of those magazines or books, maybe my grandson would be interested. So he took them, and the arrow of passion hit his heart, and he is now up in the air more than he's on the ground. So that decluttering really blessed him.
Oh, what a great story. Thank you for that, Ann. Carrie, comment. That's
yeah,
great.
That's awesome. Ann, you're a great friend, and it's wonderful that you were able to see where somebody else could find that use and pass it along. And it has a story now, right? And I'm sure your friend is really happy to see somebody else enjoy everything as much as her husband did.
Yeah, that happened on campus. A fellow from Milwaukee who had been a big hunter, when he died, his wife called over here and said, "I have all of these heads and animals that are mounted as a wildlife ecology department. Would you have an interest?" And they did, and it was like a semi-load.
Wow, that's amazing.
Of things that went, and then they in turn the ones they had to use for, they used in class for teaching and stuff, and for others went to other schools and other places. So it got the clutter, the animal clutter, I guess you could say, left the place.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it too, Larry. My own personal experience, I had a football sweater, right, from mm-hmm. my dad, and he passed away a little bit ago. But I'm like, what am I going to do with this football sweater? I'm not going to wear it, but I'm not going to put it in a display case. So what am I going to do with it? And I ended up giving it to a friend who actually has an antique booth, and she ended up selling it. And the best part about it is the people that bought it were visiting from New Zealand.
Oh.
And they had a pub in New Zealand that they were going to put, because it was UW Stout. So they were going to put my dad's jersey or sweater up on display. And so here it went to some place he's never even visited, and he would have been tickled pink.
Oh, man, what a great story. Mm. Well, there's Maria in Stratford that has something for us, too. So let's go there. Hi, Maria.
Hello there. Say, I love that New Zealand jersey story.
That's great.
That's pretty cool. The struggle that I have with decluttering, I'm on my own now. My kids are far away, so I struggle with what do I hang on from their childhood. I mean, I've knocked it down and taken pictures of things and, you know, things that have no value. But what I really struggle with, I guess, in all honesty, is just throwing stuff in a landfill. I mean, if I know it can go to our local Goodwill or St. Vinnie or, you know, something like that, that someone would get it and even get some use out of it. But it, at my workplace, I see so much waste. It just drives me nuts. You know, I just break a pencil off and a pencil sharpener, so the whole thing goes in the garbage. You know, I mean, I just have such a hard time with filling landfills with things that could be reused. But I sit here in an apartment that is cluttered up with things that I just don't want to put in the landfill, you know. So I guess any input on that, you know, mm-hmm. I repurpose, I recycle, I compost, I do it all as best I can, but, you know, there's things that, you know, I can't put on up for sale. It isn't going to have a value to anybody else, but it has use. You know, I see potential. I'm the daughter of a farmer and a fabricator. So, you know, you reused and remade everything. So I guess if you could just address that, I'd certainly appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah, you bet. Maria, it sounds like you're doing a great job of repurposing and getting all of the stuff that you're no longer using and aren't serving you to places that will. And sometimes with the clients I work with, they too, you know, get down to maybe a few things that was like, oh, geez, what do I do with this? And you know what? Together, we could look at it and figure out ways to offload it into not a landfill. So I'm not sure what you're looking at, but sometimes if it's something that maybe your local school could use, like is it for crafting projects maybe they could use, like the teachers sometimes really enjoy that. Also any like community buildings, they might need something. I had a client once that had a bunch of used totes, you know, the ones with the lids, and they're like, we aren't using these. Where can we? And I'm like, what about the community center? Because a lot of times they want to pack things up and store them because it's out of season. So you can look for other places within your community that maybe would take that. So I would try that.
And thank you very much for calling. Christine in Sauk County, your turn. Hi, Christine.
Yeah, as a 2-time Stout grad, I really liked that story too. So my question is, before like even hiring you, like I think, you know, like for someone else to help with family members decluttering, it's a very emotional conversation because like just gifting them your time and services, I could see almost being offensive to somebody if you don't have that conversation with them to like kind of prep them and ease that conversation into them. So do you have any tips or suggestions of like how to have that conversation with someone before even you're brought in? So when you are brought in, it's like, oh, thank gosh, you're here versus like, I don't want this person touching any of my stuff. They're going to think it's all trash, when really that's not the case.
That's a great question. How do you start that conversation?
That is a really great question. And it's delicate, right? We want to make sure that the loved one is on board with having a complete stranger come in and help them with their belongings, right? So I do definitely encourage my clients to have that conversation with their loved one. And you could simply state it as, look, I love you. And one of the ways I want to help you is to make sure that you are having a home that supports your needs, right? And if there's areas that aren't supporting your needs, how can we go about making that happen? You know, maybe they love to cook and their kitchen is not supporting that because maybe their counters are too cluttered, and say, hey, mom, look, I want you to make those amazing meals. I want to come in and help you make those amazing meals. How can we go ahead and do that and get these counters, you know, clear for you to roll out that dough? And maybe just starting it from a place of love, and trying to encourage them almost to come up with the answer of, hey, I do need some help.
Thank you very much for calling, Christine. Lisa in Whitefish Bay emailed to say a friend of hers was widowed about 3 years ago, married for 45 years, and is now in a new relationship. The house is still filled with his ex's stuff. It's still everywhere, and the garage and all the closets are packed. He'd like to get started getting rid of things in order to buy a condo, but is overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Where should he start?
Yes. So if he's embarking this on his own, definitely start in a small space. So start small, start simple is what I say. So maybe the kitchen counter that's piled up with stuff, maybe it's the bathroom drawers that are filled up. But starting small and setting a timer, maybe 15 minutes is even good, and then ending when the timer goes off, because those wins, so to speak, of ending on time and making small progress is going to build that momentum.
Yeah, and I it's just my own thinking on this. When I do this, and I have to declutter once in a while, like mm-hmm. I suppose most people do, if I had a lot of areas to work on, I would go to one, and I'd get it done. Mm-hmm. I'd finish it, and maybe it's over time, but I'd finish that one spot before I went on to all the rest of it.
Yes.
Is that a good idea, or?
It's absolutely a great idea, Larry. You just starting one spot, because if you kind of ping pong around, you're going to possibly feel more deflated. Instead, just stick to the topic and get that one space cleared out, and I think the rest will just build as momentum.
John in Appleton, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi. I have a success story and then just another comment. There's a cartoon out there somewhere where a dad opens up a garage, and it's just full of things, and he says to his son, someday this all will be yours.
Yeah.
And then, I had a success story last night. I just finished a sauna before the holidays, and I was making piles of stuff that I got. I said, I got to return this stuff. I don't want it in my filing cabinets in the basement, miscellaneous hardware for electrical hardware, and et cetera. And I took it back last night to a big box store and had all the receipts and went through it. Didn't really want to do it. It was a cold, rainy night. I'm like, I'd rather just stay home. But I said, I'm going to do this. I don't want this stuff in my house. And I went back, and I left with $200 more in my checking account.
Wow.
And all that stuff being in a filing cabinet, you know.
That's great. Wow. How did it make you feel?
It did. It was great. I left it going, well, that was worth it, you know.
I love that story, John. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. How do you avoid collecting more stuff?
Ooh, that is a very good question. I find that when I talk to my clients, while we love stuff, right, sometimes we can appreciate it without obtaining it, right? We can appreciate it through seeing it in the store or through a magazine, or somebody else might have it, and that's great. But also thinking about, if you do bring in something, maybe you're letting something else go, right? It's a one-in, one-out kind of concept, and that works for a lot of people too.
Yeah, I know people who have that that idea, and actually, you got to follow through on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Rick and Washburn saying, our house is ridiculously cluttered, stuff everywhere, and how do we get started? And that's kind of probably here in our last 40 seconds or so, sort of re-emphasizing what you've been talking about.
Yeah, so getting started on your own. Again, start small and remember to be very kind to yourself. You're starting this and you're doing it, and that in itself is amazing. And remember, progress counts, and know that a home that works better for you every day is a really great way to start the new year.
Yeah, and as I was saying, Carrie, back me up. Pick one little area, get it all decluttered, and then go to the next area.
Do as Larry does.
Well, you just feel better about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've accomplished something. Now let's go on to the next.
Yeah, and that should be celebrated.
Carrie, a great pleasure. Boy, the time flew. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Carrie Marshall, professional organizer, throat's clear, needs clearing here. She is the owner of the Marshall Method, LLC. Carrie Marshall, the Marshall Method, and it's based in Madison. And thank you for listening. This and all of our shows are a team effort, of course. Producers Claire Kniper, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins, our technical directors, our boss, our executive director, is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store.